sustaining alive, sustaining alive.
Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.
Welcome, Rita.
Kia ora.
May we sustain forever, everybody. Hey.
That last song was a headache to follow. Feeling a little flat. I'm going to be a bit more excited. Yeah.
Let's get excited about shooting some animals in a buzzy little environment where I can go and get the animal that I want. I don't have to walk too far from the Jeep.
Don't want to walk at all. Yeah, we're going to do trophy hunting.
trophy hunting. Has anybody, where's a good example? Oh, I'll tell you what, you can get a bit of a taste of it at Old Cazador. There's a little taxidermy on the wall there. Where are some other places in Auckland that have good taxidermy? Text us into 5395.
The museum, I just took my son there. They've got
anything big, like an elephant or anything?
There were lots of moa and heaps of New Zealand, like, native birds, like tui and...
There is an actual moa, though, is there? No.
Well, it's not alive.
No, it's not.
No, it's a taxidermy. Yeah, yeah.
Is it real?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought they were all just kind of massive plastic things.
No.
Okay. I always... when I always see, like, a, quote, taxidermied moa, the legs are always really chunky. I just can't imagine a moa having big, fat legs.
The moa will kill you, mate. That's why.
They'd run. I imagine they'd have big legs for running.
Okay.
Not big enough, by the way. They all dead. And maybe if we did have hunting range for the moa, that we'd still have a moa.
Yeah, so last week it came up. I can't even remember how it came up. And we talked about whether it could save animals. So I've gone away and done a little bit of research, thrown my little thoughts over the top of it. Okay. And I've decided that it could save the animals.
Yeah.
Well, in a roundabout sort of way, in a sort of slightly clickbaity sort of way, because what they've done, like, so short of having a revolution, we have to save the planet using the current economic structure that we have. So by these hunters putting on an economic value on these animals, then we've got a base to work from.
That's what I'm feeling as well. That's
kind of cool. I did some numbers. So you can go and shoot a lion for $50,000.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. So then I extrapolated how many lions there are left. And so they're saying that the current stock of animals, which is an awful way to talk about lions, by the way, but let's just start talking about them like that because that's what we're here to do.
What about if you just hired out into cows? I mean, you'd be real bummed out, wouldn't you?
If you what?
Well, they're like just stock. So why can't we talk about lions like this?
Exactly. So if we look at the current
delicious?
Stock.
Sorry.
I don't think so.
They probably are. No, they're delicious.
At the current amount of lions that we have left, that means that if we went and shot them all using trophy hunting, they're only worth $1 billion. And to put that into perspective, our horse racing industry is worth $1 billion a year. So those are some underpriced lions.
You're thinking maybe start a lion racing community.
So this is kind of my point. This is my point, is that there is an economic.
That would be crazy.
Potentially, we could save lions using an economic system, because if they're worth something, then all of a sudden it makes sense to save the land that they're on, and there's value to the local people to save the land that they're on.
It goes like lion, and then I think rhino is quite a big one that's quite spinny, because I watched a bit of a documentary on this. And then there's like all sorts of different types of gazelle, which are quite cheap, John. You can get yourself.
And leopards, I think, are also a big. I was reading.
Very spinny.
Hyena.
Very
spinny.
All your big cats are quite. Hyena, they pretty much give you those. They're like.
Give you the. You buy two lions, get one hyena.
Now, so.
Someone's saying, check out crapsidermy.
Is anyone.
Okay. Like, you text them, I read them.
Breeding lions for hunting that we know of?
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
That's going down. How, like, so a lot of animals.
Yeah. So that's how it works. Is they. They get a reserve, they start breeding them so people can come and shoot them. So the idea...
It's big South African business. It's like, that's big
So
business.
The argument is, oh, look, we're conserving them because we're, like, breeding them for people to shoot. But, I mean, there's lots of problems with that. The first problem is that actually, from what we can see, only a small percentage of the money is actually going to the local people. So while they're getting mauled by animals and then getting, you know, angry because they can't put their crops where they want to put them, they're not getting a lot of benefit back from these conservation areas. The other, and a lot of them are actually overseas owned, so profits are going overseas.
Classic.
The other issue that we have is that it's very much so simplifying diversity. By breeding them, what you're doing is just breeding the same lions rather than increasing genetic biodiversity. Oh my God, what are you looking at?
It turns out crapsidermy is fully tweaked. It's like kind of like, it's like taxidermy, but we're putting human eyes in it and just doing a real crummy job of it.
Bad jobs.
I do like it when they do hybrid animals with taxidermy. That's pretty much.
Oh, that's creepy.
The other
problem with putting an economic value on animals is that there's actually the economy is very complicated, and the way that we react to the economy is very complicated. So we don't have a lot of these animals left. So whether or not we want to take a risk with, you know, putting this value on them, and I'll give you an example. So
money talks. That's the.
Yeah, but it is complicated for us to go, okay, cool, let's put a value on these animals. We just have to be we have to put a moratorium on them to begin with to do this job properly, because the economy is complicated. So having a look at, so they tried to make a legitimate industry out of ivory and
oh, what a nightmare that is. I've met China's just trucking on with that shit, isn't it?
Well, so what they did was, ivory is traditionally used for jewellery over there, for the carving jewellery. Mm. And what there has been an increase in poaching, you know, for a long time now. So China argued that there was an economic reason to do a legal shipment to China. And so they did. So they worked with CITES, which is the Convention for Trade of Endangered Animals, which means you can't go and trade endangered species. And they agreed to doing one to see whether there could be a decrease in poaching. Whether they got a legal shipment of 62 tonnes in 2008. And the idea being that if you flood the market with legal ivory, that the poaching, that the value of poaching wouldn't be there anymore. So you wouldn't take the risk, spend the money going out and poaching the elephant.
Bomb the fire kind of thing.
Kind of, yeah. Like let's flood the market with the ivory and do a legitimate market.
Don't they grind it up and make it into all sorts of like magic potions,
boner pills, and stuff?
No, the largest market.
Sure, I'm pretty sure it is.
Excuse the pun.
I'm pretty sure.
I think that might be elephant.
I'm pretty sure they're all about it for all the.
Lion testicles,
downtown Skadesh. Oh, definitely lion testicles.
And do you know what?
That goes without saying. Lion testicles are great for them.
Do you know what killed that market? Was
a lack of bonus.
Oh no, what's it called? I've just forgotten the word. But Viagra totally killed that market. So you know, there is something to be said for you know, these sorts of solutions. So anyway, so China bought this ivory, and then in 2008, and then there was a huge boom in poaching. So there was, and so CITES said, okay, well, that's completely failed. All it's done is increased people's demand for ivory.
Kind of a bump.
So later on, what happened was some scientists went to China, and they worked with some economic conservationists went to China, and they had a look at the data, and they said, this just doesn't seem right to us. And actually what they found was that people weren't using it for jewellery. They were using it for, as a speculative market.
Yes.
In 2008, we had the GFC. So with the global crisis, global financial crisis, they decided that money, the US dollar, was no longer something that they could trust, and so they stockpiled ivory instead.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
So the moral of the story there is that potentially that could have worked, but. Because the economy is so complicated, and how we react to the economy is even more complicated, it's very difficult for us to guess all the things that are going to happen. Mm. So we would have to be very, very careful. The other thing that I would think that, you know, even if we were able to put a proper price on these animals, their value for biodiversity, their value for, ecosystem purposes, the one value that will be that we need to put on them is the intrinsic value. So what are they worth to us just existing? What is it worth to you or to me or to the next person? Like, how much are you willing to pay annually to ensure that there are lions in this planet?
Someone's come in with rhino horn. Yeah, rhino horn is still poached. I think rhino horn is the major.
Yeah, I think there's a really interesting New Zealand economic economic environmental scientist, and his name's Dr. Brendan Moyle, and he's done quite a bit of work in this area. So he was the one that discovered, well, with a team of scientists, I think they were working for the World Bank, were the ones that found that actually they were stockpiling. And the rhino horns actually pose a really big problem, because apparently they do, what they've found is they do actually have medical benefits that they can't replicate with science yet. So are they're trying to find a solution to that.
Is this a case of like just all the popular animals are going to be left around though? Like, what about like a little bit, like John said, the hyena?
Well, that's exactly right. And that's sort of what I was saying about that. Like, we're trying to simplify something. So it's going, okay, cool, let's save the lions. But the lions don't exist by themselves. They have to have prey, and they have to have a certain amount of land, and they've got to have, you know,
running,
so.
They'd be running the kill down.
Yeah. So it's simplifying something that that is actually very complicated, and you know, we need to put a value on them intrinsically, you know, because we have to, you know, we want them to stay here.
New Lion King coming out soon, I think.
There is. So that might help out.
Good day.
Pays to have a balanced diet, but...
Is there a case that CGI gets so good that we don't need the real lion?
Well, that's the case with the New Lion King.
Yeah.
There's no, it's all CGI, yeah.
There you go.
And the blue macaw, that's how you say it. Yeah, that was famous in Rio, you know, the animated movie.
That wasn't a big one, extinct. Though. That wasn't a big one. That's why it should need to be a bigger movie. That probably all right.
So save animals. Every animal needs to have its own movie.
If you blockbust it, you're safe. If you're not, toodle pip.
Those hyenas, they're gone.
So
hyenas are great in movies, though. They're always
kind
classic.
Of four. We can see the
I think that by having a trophy hunting industry, I think it's like, okay, thanks for doing that. I think we need to stop that now. Mm. But we now know that the bare minimum value of a lion is $50,000. Which, by the way, just isn't enough.
It's weak that we're like, that the best argument is them going, oh, well, we're basically saving them. We're the only ones that give a shit about them so that we can shoot them. It's like, fuck, that kind of says a lot about everyone else actually as well. Though,
well, like, yeah, and it's definitely not true, because you've got like the WWF, and they'll be raising, I can guarantee that they would be able to raise more money than $50,000 a lion, than $1 billion. Mm. They would be able to raise that a lot faster.
If you name the lion and give it an Instagram.
That's the one,
that
man.
Becomes that's an expensive lion. Everyone starts giving shits about that lion. Hard
yeah, out. That's the one. But we definitely need to do something, because we're looking at, you know, we had the statistics are pretty sad. You know, we're looking at, we had 75,000 in the 70s, and now we've got 20,000. So,
wow.
Lions. So they're decreasing quickly, and you know, we have to do something pretty quick about all of our species. That, like, all of them are declining significantly. So.
The moa had big legs for getting through the swamp.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it actually was the eggs that killed
delicious.
Them. Yeah, because they're really slow breeders.
A couple of omelets there for sure.
Yeah. They're slow breeders, so, you know, and the eggs were big, so.
I had an omelet this morning, actually. Put a little bit of relish in there, a bit of cheese, John.
Pretended it's a moa.
I don't think about the moa.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
All right, well, look, everyone just maybe stop shooting things, though.
Yeah. Donate to the lions. And the hyenas.
Thanks, Rita.
Have a good week.
Are we going to do 1080 next week? Or?
Well, now that you said that, there's going to be a bunch of protesters, aren't there?
We're not talking about the sports trick. We're talking about that trigger word for most of Aucklanders. Are we going to do it? Have you done your research?
Yeah.
Is that a Star Wars diary you've got? Or have you just written Star Wars in it?
No, it's a Star Wars diary.
Sick. Matt.
Next week. See ya.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95 BFM.